Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Yesterday's call from Patricia Grant, and basically connecting up with her long lost brother Christopher Smith, has generated an unusual number of different angles out of that call. One was obviously Christopher revealed that he didn't know he had parents ever. He thought he was an orphan. And at 6 years of age, just think of it, he was sent into Artain Industrial School of Dublin, where he spent 10 years. Apparently he was sent there for not going to school. Can you believe it? And he spoke about his time in Artain and how horrific it was. And Artain only closed in 1969. And Patricia, the reason Patricia wanted to call and try and get Christopher on the line, they have met obviously, is that she found him a number of years ago, after looking for him all her life. And they were basically 65 or more years apart, never knowing each other, even though they lived, never knowing that they were brother and sister, even knowing that Christopher lived in Ballymun and Patricia lived in Baldoyle, which is not too far away. Anyway, that has sparked a number of calls, as I said, some about Artain, some about the album that we played yesterday, the Danny Ellis album, 800 Voices. And somebody else asked, there's a song in that, the day Tommy Bonner sang, I think it is, and they're asking us, is Tommy Bonner still alive? Well, we're trying to find that out, but the last contact we've had today is, we think he moved to England like so many from Artain. So if anyone knows where Tommy Bonner is, or if he's still alive, well then we'd be anxious to hear from them. And Joe at rt.ie. But Breda O'Grady contacted us. Breda, good afternoon.
Hello Joe, how are you?
Good thanks Breda. Two connections, one Artain and two finding relatives. Tell us the Artain connection in your story.
My father came from Artain when he was 16 to work on a farm here in Tipperary.
He was in the industrial school?
He was in the industrial school, yeah. He took choice, of course, Kilkenny or Tipperary. He chose Tipperary.
Okay.
So he came working on a farm and he got bed and board.
Right.
And then when he married and had children, so when he wanted to get more money, so he went to the mines to work there, silver mines in Nina.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked there for a few years, but he was killed then in an accident in 1966.
In the mine shaft?
In the mine, yeah, he fell down the mine shaft, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he came here with no documentation.
Right.
He had no birth cert, no nothing. He just came here as, his name was Paddy O'Keefe.
Okay.
And that's all he knew. So when he was getting married, he got a birth cert.
Right.
For a Patrick O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
So after his death, I tried to trace the family. But it was, they had nothing got to do with us. They weren't connected to us whatsoever.
Okay, so that was a blank. When you went,
And then I went searching again, and then I found this document in the forecourt.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick O'Keefe, child of Alice Skidmore.
Skidmore. Unusual name,
Yeah, very unusual name. So I sent off for a birth cert for that name. I've had that since the 70s, the Skidmore one.
Mm-hmm.
So that tied in with what he said, because he knew he was in a hospital a lot as a child.
Right.
And that he thought he was sick, but he said he was in a hospital. And that ties in with the information I got. So she left him in Lough Hospital. She had him for 12 months.
Right.
And she left him in Lough Hospital.
Which was in...
And then he was in Dublin in somewhere.
The Lough, I think it was L-O-C-K it was spelled.
Yeah, Lough Hospital.
And I think it was down near Townsend Street, Tara Street, there near near the fire station. Okay, so we found out that he was born in the Lough Hospital?
No, he was born in the Coombe. So
born in the Coombe, okay.
Yeah, the Coombe Hospital then gave me more information on it. When I saw the names, I said, it looked like they're not real Irish names. I thought, when I saw the stuff from the Coombe said his father was a soldier.
Right.
So I knew straight away then, probably a British soldier.
Okay.
Do you know? So, and then his mother's name was Alice.
Right.
Yeah, and I thought it was Alice Skidmore. Or Sherwood, not Sherwood. I thought it was Alice Sherwood.
Okay.
But it wasn't. It should be a capital I before the S. That's where I went wrong as well. So there are two unusual names.
There should be a capital I.
Yeah, I thought, see, on the birth certificate, it looks like his name is Patrick, his father's name is Patrick Skidmore. Then Alice, I thought it was Sherwood, but it wasn't. It's Isherwood. There should be a capital I.
Ah.
four. And I was always looking for Alex.
You're so Miss Marple. You really are.
Well, it's only lately I found this out.
Sherwood, just think of it. Write it down at home. Sherwood changes into a completely different name with the addition of one single letter at the start. And that's the letter I. Turns into Isherwood,
It does. If you misplace the I and don't put it properly on the birth cert, you think it's Sherwood.
Yeah, and there couldn't be a name further from Sherwood as Isherwood in terms
Isherwood
of...
Isherwood is completely different when you say it that way.
So where are we now, Breeda? Where are we now?
I left then for years. I just left it be. Yeah. I didn't want to go on a programme again and get the wrong people again. So off and on, I tried to ring your programme, but just wouldn't get through.
Okay.
So Christmas then, I got a DNA test. You know, myheritage.ie.
Okay. This past
and
Christmas,
I matched,
for
a Christmas present. So I got the results back in February, the end of February.
Yeah.
So the first name that came up on it was Lisa Ann Skidmore. So I knew straight away I had the right people.
Just take me through that. You got a Christmas present of a free genetic test with Heritage.ie.
Yes. MyHeritage.ie. Yeah.
Okay. So you got the results, and who gave you the name? Where did you get the other names?
No. You can log on to their site, and it said I matched this girl.
Wow.
And she corresponded then with my daughter because she was doing it for me, and her name. My daughter said you will never guess the name that came up.
Right.
And she said, it's Skidmore. I said, that's them. It
bingo.
Has to be them.
You said bingo.
Bingo, yes. Yeah. I knew from the 70s that his name shouldn't have been O'Keefe at all. It should have been, you know, he was changed, obviously, because someone changed it because his father was a British soldier. I don't know.
But when you get your information back from heritage.ie, do they say to you, here are the people you may be related to?
Yeah, and then I...
But they don't give you their addresses or anything.
No. Then... my daughter got in touch with this lady in
she trapped
the country.
There. Okay.
Yeah, Lisa is her name as well. And she's the closest to me in DNA.
Okay.
And her name is Skidmore as well, you see. So that's what really triggered it with me.
And are you related?
Well, I hope we are, because we've talked on the phone, so we can't meet
because of the lockdown,
Yes, yes. And so we're only talking on the phone. I've only spoken to Lisa once or twice.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very good match because the names are so unusual.
They're very unusual.
You know what I mean?
Skidmore, And you reckon your father's name was Paddy Skidmore?
Paddy Skidmore. And
I
have a letter. I have a letter from Bernardo saying, look, his name could have been changed just to protect his identity.
Yeah.
You know.
Did he ever talk about his time in Artane?
He wouldn't. No. He just said that. Yeah. I often asked him, did he not try to find out his mother? And he said, they didn't want to know me, so I don't want to know them.
Wow. So did he have any relations that he knew of?
No, none. He went to his death, no one, nobody. Ah. Nobody, no connections whatsoever.
So you didn't have any relations on his side at all?
No,
at all.
None whatsoever.
Granny, granduncles, aunts, cousins?
No.
Okay. Well, Lisa Ann Skidmore, you said you've only spoken to her once or twice. Well, you're going to speak to her again because she's on the line. What Breeda is in Nina because Paddy went when he was on the day of his 16th birthday, as you know. You're marched out of Artane. You're given a travel docket to go and work and Paddy was offered Kilkenny or Tip, was that it? And he chose Tip, and that's how he ended up working, and that's how he ended up in silver mines. And that's what age was he when he was killed in the mines?
He was about 38, I think.
Oh, mother of merciful error.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's bring in Lisa Ann Skidmore. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What part of the world are you in, Lisa?
Well, I'm actually originally from Dublin, but I'm in Laois now.
You're in Laois, okay. Now. Yeah. Do you reckon you are the only known relation on her father's side that Breeda O'Grady has found?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And why are you so adamant that you are related?
Well, the DNA test wouldn't, you know, I'm sure it's 99.9% accurate anyway.
And the DNA said you were related?
Yeah, it said, I think it says second cousin once removed or something like that, but it actually, I think it's because... Paddy and my dad didn't have the same father.
Ah. And did they had the same mother, obviously.
They had the same mother, Alice Isherwood,
And how did you know this anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us how you found out about your life and parentage.
Well,
your father and grandparentage,
My grandparents, I have my dad's birth certificate and the grandparents' marriage certificate.
Okay.
So my grandfather was William Christopher Skidmore. He was a British soldier as well. So, although I think there's 5 years between Paddy and my father, Breda, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, 5 years between.
What's your father's name, Lisa?
My dad was Billy Skidmore.
Billy, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, did he ever talk, did he know anything about his parentage?
He didn't really, no, he didn't really, and he never really went to look for anybody either.
Hmm.
He was given up as a baby. Alice seems to have disappeared. That seems to be a pattern with her. She also left my dad. Not quite sure where.
Right.
But she was taken on by three spinsters that lived in Pendalcon, who spoiled him rotten for his whole life.
Great.
So, great. Yeah.
And are they still alive?
No, they're all passed away.
And how did your father, what age was your father when he was reared by these three women?
I think he was taken in when he was only like a couple of years old.
Wow.
And
when you say Alice Skidmore, is that her married name or her maiden name?
That's her maiden name. Alice Isherwood is her maiden name.
Ah, sorry, yeah. Okay.
Skidmore is my...
Yeah, okay.
So
Alice Isherwood disappears off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we know, is that the total two children?
We don't think so, no, because was also, I found on the census records that she was in a Magdalen laundry when she was 15 in Limerick.
Yeah. Wow. And where do we think Alice Isherwood came from?
She was born in Moss Street in Dublin.
Okay. Now, Moss Street in Dublin is down near the Lock Hospital, where the Lock Hospital was, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's off Pierce Street. And the Lock Hospital was down in Townsend Street. I have no memory of it. I just remember coming across when I was doing the 1916 stuff. Now, the Lock Hospital was it not for people with venereal disease, God help us?
It was, yeah.
The poor woman.
So she seems to have been a very troubled woman.
Yeah.
I think she lied on the birth certificate about Paddy's father because, as Breda said, they found out that was false. It's very sad.
And Lisa, how do you know your dad and Breda's dad, they had the same mother, but how do you know they had two different fathers?
Well, I suppose we don't know, but why would she not have just put William Christopher Skidmore on his birth certificate
as well?
You know, and there was 5 years between that.
Okay. And tell us, so did he, what those these three women that reared him in Clondalkin, do you want to give their surname or can you give their surname? I don't know.
They were Steins.
Steins?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said these three women in Clondalkin spoiled them rotten.
So
they were either working or had an income, had they?
Oh, yeah, they did. Two of the ladies had very good jobs.
Great. And do you know how they got your dad?
I don't know. I think my father was actually taken out to be trained up like as a farm worker.
Yeah.
But they fell in love with him.
Okay. And do you think, did he work on their farm?
He worked in the paper mills.
Clondalkin, well, that great institution.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lisa and Breda, that's an incredible story.
Yeah.
That is just...
We've loads of different connections, like, it's just so unusual.
Yeah. But
it's really nice. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you come across any other relations of your dad, Lisa?
No, none.
Wow. And did he...
We have a feeling that there's a few more out there.
So on the one hand, Paddy O'Keefe, and it was Christopher yesterday, so many other people, they were given up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Paddy ends up... yesterday, Christopher ends up in Artane, age six. It's horrific. For 10 years, where he said that his main memory is starvation in Artane. And then we have today, Breda's father, Paddy, also goes to Artane. And I've yet to meet anyone who said Artane was a nice experience, very young. And then he's killed. He ends up in Tipperary. Then he's killed down the mine. So he has a, how would you describe his life, Breda? A difficult life, did he?
A short life. Short life, tough life. Okay. And he's a hard worker, you know.
Another brother somehow comes across these three incredible women, the Stein sisters, in Clondalkin, who, and when you say they spoiled them rottenly, so what do you mean?
They just had him very pampered. Like, there was 12 years between my mother and father in age, and when they were getting married, my mother had all her instructions on how he liked his shaving gear laid out and the way he liked his trousers ironed, and, you know.
Wow. And did you ever meet the three sisters?
Oh, yeah.
And what were they like?
They were lovely. Now, I was very young when they died, but they were really lovely women.
And did they formally adopt your dad, Bill?
I don't think so. And seemingly, his aunties came, Alice's sisters came to look for my dad, and the women hid him in a haystack. They didn't want to come back.
So he was their pet. He was their love of their lives, probably.
Oh, absolutely. They were just three spinsters, and they never married.
And did Bill love them?
Oh, absolutely. I idolised them.
Wow. And did he love one more than the other? Did he regard one of them as his mammy, or just his aunts?
No. But when he got married, he moved from number three.
Yeah.
St. Richard's Cottages to number eight. So he wasn't very far away from them.
They probably bought him the house, did they?
Very, very adventurous.
Wow. And did they educate him?
Well, I suppose as best they could. I think he started working when he was only like 14 or something in paper mills, which was the done thing then.
Back in the day, that was the done thing. Okay, that's just an incredible web there between. So Breda O'Grady and Lisa Ann Skidmore, you are related. Given the story you've told is absolutely, the DNA matches, but you've never met.
No, I haven't met yet, no.
But I've stayed in the hotel that Breda works in so many times.
Yeah, I need
her. She's probably cooked me my breakfast a few times.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It's just. And did your dad, Lisa, obviously had a happy life. What age was he when he passed?
81.
Wow. And his brother. His brother was 38. And he was killed because he went walking down the mines. I presume the money in the mines was a little bit better, Breed. It was.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
I didn't know there was anyone killed in silver mines. Now, that's
there were five people killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was,
I know. Where's Castlecomer, the coal mines?
The silver mines.
I know, the silver mines, aptly. Yeah. In silver mines, in a place.
In the silver mines,
So, how can... the two you can't meet because it's not an essential journey.
Sure it's not. We think there's others out there, though. You know, there has to be, I'd say.
I'd love to find out what happened to her, Alice Isherwood.
If she went to England, she might have had more children in England. With the husband or the boyfriend, whatever he was,
And do we know what age Alice was when she had your dad, Breda?
It says 30 and in the Coombe records.
Have you any info on when, what age was Alice when she had your dad, Lisa?
Well, she was born in 1896.
Okay.
So my dad was 1923.
So then she was 27.
Yeah.
And what age do you think she was when she was in the Magdalen Laundry in Limerick?
She was 15.
Oh, mammy. Oh, this country. I know we live in an awful time at the moment, but mother of divine.
She could have gotten put in there for something as simple as looking after
you. I know.
No?
Oh, that poor woman. Okay, well, Lisa, were you looking for relatives anyway?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Oh, not fantastic.
There's only my sister and myself left, and our brother passed away last April, so... Our family is getting very small at the moment. So,
and what age was your brother when he passed away?
He was 58.
That's young. That's very young.
In London, he had heart problems.
I had a problem. Okay, now, did you know that Miss Marple on the other side, down in Nina, Breda O'Grady, was beavering away on this? That was such a find, the Sherwood change into Isherwood with the addition of an eye. Well done.
Lisa told me that, you see. Yeah. Lisa could tell me that.
Well done.
Yeah. So it's just to see if there's more out there or whatever, you know, burns up.
I hope you meet up soon. Just give each other a hug. I really do. And remember your two dads.
Our dads,
I'm sure they were two very good men, but they had two completely different lives.
Brothers.
Two brothers. And
just to look at the draw where you went.
Cain.
You know.
What's the blood brothers, Cain and Abel? Isn't that the story there?
Yeah.
The two brothers going into the... I'd love to find out more about the Stein sisters. From, where'd you say, Bridget's Cottages in Clondalk?
Yeah,
if anyone ever knew them. Okay, Lisa Anne, it's an incredible story for these times. It really is. And the fact that you can't now meet because of both of you in different ways have looked for each other over decades.
Over the years,
you found each other about 8 weeks ago and then the country went into lockdown the following week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa, well done, you,
Breeda. You're great. Yeah. And Lisa, you obviously did a lot as well. I hope you can you can meet up soon. And God rest Bill, God rest Paddy, and I think above all because Bill and Paddy are remembered lovingly by their family. God rest Alice Isherwood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks very much,
thanks,
Joe.
Thanks, Rita. Mind yourself.
Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
And
bye-bye.
Lisa Anne, you mind yourself
thank
as well.
You. Bye-bye,
it's 7 minutes past two. Not a child in the house washing your father's dinner still in the oven. 51551, wash your hands.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
See, I also wonder, and this is the nursing home issue as well, public sector workers in... The health service, which are probably the biggest group of unionised workers, and they are represented by trade unions, highly skilled, highly professional, highly organised trade unions. Carers aren't. Nursing homes inevitably aren't. And the trade unions have been to the forefront of, and that's their job, of negotiating. But it looks like people who are in non-union work are not getting the mask things, are not getting the equal treatment, to say the least. Okay, let me bring in Francis O'Donnell. Francis, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Now, your story, Francis, please.
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations to the men and women of Regional Hospital here in Cork and the amount of work that they're doing.
Right.
And they, in my eyes, they're being recognised.
Okay.
And I'll give you my story. I found my family about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Researched over 30 years, and I discovered through my birth that my mother was from Killaloe, Newtown Killaloe. So I went to Killaloe, had a chat with went to the church and met an old lady that was coming out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm looking for, but then I was the yank, by the way, looking for my family, the O'Donnells.
Yeah.
So she said, would you go across the road there? There's a woman there in the pub, an elderly woman, she owns the pub, just across the road from the church. Drop in there, she might be in there, you might be lucky. So I said, thank you very much, I'll go in. So I went in, I ordered a pint of Guinness, of course, and then she was down below the end of the corner of the pub, and I went up to her, and I said, ma'am, can I have a word with you? And she said, certainly, she said, I'm looking for my family, the O'Donnells.
Your line, just hang on, Francis, your line's a bit dodgy, just pull back from the phone a bit, and if you're holding the wire, don't hold the wire and stay back. Yeah, that sounds much better. Okay, yeah. By the way, so you're pretending to be a yank, because what did you're an orphan, were you?
I was an orphan, yeah.
Okay.
I was born in Dublin, but reared in Cork.
Okay, whereabouts were you reared?
I was reared in Lota, in Dunmire, in Cork.
In a home?
In a home, yeah. In the Brothers of Charity.
Brothers of Charity, okay.
And I got on with life, thank God.
Yeah.
Got married. But anyway, I gave her my mother's name, Joan O'Donnell.
Right.
And she said, my God, she's that strange. I knew her. I went to school with her.
Wow.
Well, my God, says I couldn't believe it. So she told me where she was living.
Mm.
And it was in a house up in Newtown, up kind of a hill, looking down into Shannon. And, you know, I walked up there. She said it was the sixth house. So I went to the first house, and I asked the young girl there, did they know this family? And could you do me a favor? Could you ring them up and tell them I'm coming to see them, looking into my family?
Yeah.
So she said, well, I'll do that, no problem. So by the time I got to the house, they had the door open. So there was two men and a lady, and one, the husband and I, and this was a theologian. And they brought me into the house. They knew I was coming. And they sat me down and they said, you know who you are? I said, I have a fair idea in my father's, grandfather's place. She said, you're right. She said, we had a house since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
and another family owned that before that, but your family owned the house before that again. And that house was provided to my grandfather was in the First World War. And when he came home, wounded, he was provided with this house.
Yes.
And you're sitting in the room where he was, right?
Okay.
Then they extended the room. And they told me that I wrote down everything, all the information I had. And they were very nice people. And from there, I went on to the Barnardos. And I wrote to the Barnardos and told them my story. They were amazed the amount of information I had. I'm cutting the story short. And
but this woman you're sitting in front of,
yeah,
in Killaloe, she's not a relative of yours, is she?
No, she wasn't a relative.
Okay. So how did you find your relatives? Take me there.
I will take you there.
Good
well,
man.
To do with Barnardos, I found my relatives.
Okay.
They wrote to her, one of my sisters, and she got a letter, and when she got the letter, she couldn't believe it.
Right.
So I had to get their permission. They told them they told me they found them, and I'm cutting the story short. And we contacted them between us. They were independent because we didn't know whether they wanted to meet me or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So that was understandable. So they agreed amongst themselves they would like to meet me.
Okay.
So a few weeks after that, we made arrangements to meet in one of my sister's home. Jackie was her name. Hope she doesn't mind, you know, and mention her name.
Oh.
And we all met there, and what a welcome. From nothing to about 30 people, their daughters, their sisters, their granddaughters, all together. My brother-in-law's son brought me there. And I was overwhelmed. The welcome. It was unbelievable. We sat down, we had our dinner, and one of my sisters, there was eight children. One brother died.
Yeah.
He worked for Maureen Potter.
Wow.
He worked for Maureen Potter for years. And another sister died at 2 years of age. Another sister then died after that. And then another sister just died recently. Tricia was her name.
So, Francis, you went from a situation where you had no blood relatives.
None.
No blood relatives, to having 30 at least.
At least 30. And what a welcome. What a welcome I got. They never knew anything about me. They were shocked.
Wow.
As much as I was.
And why did you find anything else about yourself, Francis? Why were you put into St. Patrick's?
Well, you see, I got a gist of the story. Now, it may not be right, but in those days, the time, I was called a war baby because I was born just before the end of the war.
Right.
Right, so I got that name, the war baby. Now, in that time, she had me, and I think, I don't know, when her father... Right, that my grandfather discovered that she was pregnant by, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was only 16. I don't know whether she was chased out of the house, and I'm not too sure, but she left the house and went to Dublin. And then she had me in Dublin in St. Patrick's school run by nuns, I'm sure.
And the Navan Road, yeah.
And the Navan Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I left there, but I didn't leave there. I was brought down across the road to the Sisters of Charity in just across the road from it. Now, I have to say, there was one nun there. She was over. She was outstanding.
Okay.
She was the most beautiful, saintly person I ever... We were lucky.
Isn't that fantastic?
Very, very lucky. She was... Sister Joseph was her name.
And did you ever... Francis, did you ever have any visitors?
No. I never knew... I never knew. I used to always see... Even when I was in Lothmore, I wore, you know... I was. I used to see people, their parents coming up to see it, and they used to. There was a few of us there, and one of us we said to one another, "Look, they're getting all their parents. We're getting nobody, you know." And we couldn't understand it why we weren't getting our family coming to visit us. But no, we just carried on, and thank God. Like the brothers, in one sense, okay, they had a problem. Yes, they did. But one sense, they were very well ahead of a lot of other places.
Okay.
What they did was, in my experience only, I'm going to go with my own experience, I went up to Galway to look after adult men, right? And work experience, kind of. And then I asked to leave, because I was at a certain age, and the brothers brought me down back to Cork. They asked me, would you like to go to Dublin or Cork? And one of them said, you were born in Dublin. No, said I, all my friends are in Cork. I want to go to Cork. So they brought me to Cork, and they got me accommodation. They also got me a job.
Okay. And when you, what age were you, Francis, when you found your family?
I was about 40s. No, I'm sorry, more than that. I was in my late 60s.
Late 60s, okay. And did they tell you much about your mother?
They did. They were surprised they didn't know about me.
Yeah.
And they told me, actually they made a film of her, would you believe? And a videotape of her, and they had that, and they attached that to the film when they found me. And
you've been able to see her. She was dead at that stage.
Oh, she was dead. She did.
But you were able to see an interview with your mother.
No. All I would see is film her coming out of the house.
Ah, just a picture of her. Okay. You know, what was that like, seeing your mother for the first time?
No, I never met my mother.
I know that, but seeing her on film.
On the film. They did a wonderful job. And the music That's background right. was just outstanding. But they did that over a period of time. One of my niece's boyfriends done it. He was exceptionally good.
Good man.
You know, okay. But I tell you now, Joe, they are a wonderful family.
Yeah.
And they couldn't. I am one of their own. One of my elder sisters said, "I'm not the oldest anymore." Anne was her name.
Yeah.
Is her name. And she said, "He is the eldest." That was me. So we were sitting down having a dinner. We had a great old crack. But it was an experience I'd never forget. So there's happy stories and there's sad stories, you know.
And you still keep in touch?
One of my nieces rang me this morning.
I can't.
Sitting down in the garden, doing the garden it was.
Brilliant.
And I have a lovely garden and a lovely wife, and she's a fantastic lady.
Well done, you're great. And Francis, how are you managing the lockdown?
Oh, I'm in the house, doing the back garden. And I have great neighbours around me. I have really fantastic neighbours. And I'm very lucky I moved here in Mayfield. It's Mayfield I'm in at the moment.
And Cork, yeah.
And wonderful neighbours, and they're knocking at the door. Are you okay, Francis? I want this. And if you want anything, they'll get it for us. So in that way, I'm very lucky, you know.
Okay.
But thanks to the neighbours, thanks to the nurses. I know one or two of the nurses who are working in the regional hospital. I know her mother very well. And at the end, most weekends I fly the Irish flag.
And just briefly, well done, Francis. You're right about you're flying the Irish flag, Francis. What when you left the home, yes. what did you work at? How did you?
Well, I worked in a market gardening, working for an Englishman, £4 a week.
Yeah.
And he was a nice man. And then I left him. I was going to join the Irish Army, or it was the Irish Army, or go to England.
Yeah.
And lucky enough, through the social worker, we kept in contact with the social worker of Lota. And through her, I got the job at the market gardening. Nice. I was only there 4 years on my verge to join the Irish Army, but I didn't join. I got a great job working in York Carpets in Killicloyne, and it was I was a union rep there.
Yeah, what's Yall Carpets?
Yeah, not the shop sure, just the union.
I know, but they were a very famous brand, weren't they?
Fantastic brand.
Yeah.
So they made a carpet. Actually, it was actually laid out in the American Embassy.
Oh yeah.
Or the American.
High end carpets. Yeah.
Yeah, they're lovely. I have a carpet on my stairs.
They were so good you couldn't walk at them. You'd be afraid of that.
It was fantastic.
You're a great man, Francis. What's your wife's first name?
Mary is her first name. Right. And listen, thanks to you, and you're a great man.
And it's a privilege, as I say, to sit here in these times. Francis, look after yourself. It's a great uplift of a story. And kind regards to you and your extended family.
Oh, they're very good.
Okay, mind yourself.
God bless. They're all very good.
Yeah, fair play. Bye-bye. They get that message, I'm sure, loud and clear. 51551, my chance.